Welcome back, motherfuckers. It's Mary Poppins, and you are listening to the ESPM podcast, where if it doesn't affect you emotionally, spiritually, physically, or mentally, do not pay it no attention. Do not give that shit no life. Kill it. You feel me? We're going to do our normal self-care check-in. Did you drink your water today? Did you brush your teeth? Did you take your vitamins or your medications? You on schedule with that, you feel me? Did you stretch? Did you wash your ass? And most importantly, are you minding your business? You feel me? Are you minding the business that pays you? You feel me? Because you can't give in to anybody else or show love to anybody else if your well is dry. So fill that well up, beautiful people. Fill that well up, okay? Okay, also, first things, like, you know, just in the beginning as we get started, as my girl India Ari says, don't be offended. This is all my opinion. Ain't nothing that I'm saying law. This is just true confessions of life learning lessons I was sent here to share with y'all. So don't get offended at anything I'm saying. I am not sharing the news. I am sharing my opinion. I am sharing how these things have affected my life, things that I have thought about through the years. And I'm sharing that today. And I know not everybody needs a podcast, but I do. And if you don't feel like you like this shit, turn it off, but don't turn it off. Like, still share it and be like, I don't like this shit, but share it so other people can be like, you feel me? You feel me? So, yeah, you feel me? Let's just get started before I just start talking too much and start rambling, because that's what a podcast is. But here we go. As many of you know, Tia from Tia Maury Hardwick from Sister, one of my favorite shows in the whole entire world. I used to just watch that show on repeat before streaming services became a thing. I used to, like, you know, DVR it, what is that, TV record? Could be. But I used to DVR Sister. I remember the first time it was coming on ABC, I believe. And I remember the little commercial they had that was promoting the show. I remember all of that. And I love twins. I'm a Gemini. I love twins. I've always been obsessed with twins since I was a child. So for me, watching Sister was a given. Like, I couldn't wait for that show to come on. So, you know, I've always been a super fan of Tia and Tamira. When they had their show together, I think it was only on for 2 seasons, maybe 3. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't check before I got on. I didn't realize I remembered that part. But they had their show on for a few seasons, and it was really interesting to see the dynamics of their relationship. And I know sisters fight all the time, but it just seemed like they had disagreements. And, you know, maybe it was because they've had so many shows together and people, you know, people pair them together as a duo, Tia and Tamira. And, you know, they wanted some individuality. So, you can kind of see that throughout that show. They had a cousin that was like their best friend. They each had their own friends, Tamira more than Tia. And they shared a cousin that was their best friend. And you can kind of just see that they didn't have the relationship that we all thought they had, or that I thought they had, just by watching the show Sister. And, you know, that's my fault because it's a TV show. But you tend to think that their characters kind of are similar to the person that they are. Sometimes you get that with characters like Taraji and Cookie Lion. Like, Taraji's not 100% like Cookie, but they have, you know, she brought her personality to that character. So, you know, and we all love Cookie, so it was easy to love Taraji. As soon as she showed us that personality, that's when things really started taking off for her, because people really wanted to see, like, show us who you are in these characters. Bring who you are. Don't just become the quiet little mouse like she was in Hustle and Flow. Like, no, show us who you really are in these characters. Be that person. And she did, and we loved her. We love her. So with Tia and Tamira, you know, I always assumed that their personalities were similar to their characters. I think in reality, Tamira was more of the quiet book one, and Tia was more of the outgoing one, because I read that, I believe, because I was a super fan. So Tia and Tamira, Tia, and here, see, I said it again, Tia and Tamira, and this is about Tia. Tia recently got a divorce. She was married for 14 years, two children, to Corey Hardick. I can't even say these names right. Corey Hardick, he's a actor, like a C-list celebrity actor. They're married. They were married for 14 years. They got a divorce. And a lot of people were shocked, surprised, because they had the appearance of just like this loving couple and, you know, sticking together and being happy and goofy together. And, you know, when they got a divorce, a lot of people were saying they could see and they could tell. And, you know, you got those people who are always like, oh, my God, y'all, all of a sudden, y'all could see that they was fucking not happy together. Shut up, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, I think that's the truth. I think a lot of people could see that they weren't really the happy couple. We were just all hoping that they were a happy couple. And we didn't want to speak any evil or negativity on it. Maybe us just thinking it was a problem. But I remember I was thinking it just by seeing the relationship between Tamira and Corey. And I say that because there's this episode on Sister Sister where Tia and Tamira end up meeting the same guy. He thinks that they are the same person. He ends up, they both like are excited that they are going on a date. And the date comes and they end up, they on a date with the same guy. And after they go on a date, they, you know, at the end of the day, they both had a good time. He had a good time with both of them, and he couldn't decide which one he wanted because, you know, men, they want multiple women. And he's, like, thinking he lucked up. He got twins. He's like, I want to date both of y'all, but that's gross because they sisters. And at the end, he chose Tia because he liked her shoes, but the gag was those were Tamira's shoes. So, it was like, in reality, he should have picked Tamira because he liked her taste. He liked her shoes. He liked her personality, but he chose Tia, and it was all a lie, based on a lie. And that was kind of the theme of their shows. It was like they were always switching, not always, but they would switch places. And when they would switch places, it was either with at school, or it was with a boy. Tamira would often, it was always Tamira, never really Tia. Tamira would always go on a date for Tia with Tia's boyfriend. And Tamira would end up liking him, and he would have a good time with Tamira and all this kind of things. But he'd really be with Tia. And then after a while, they end up breaking up and moving forward and blah, blah, blah. But it seems like the theme was Tia was the more I got the boyfriend type of sister. Tamira was the more wild one. But when she did like a dude and it ended up being Tia's boyfriend, you know, Tamira would vibe a little bit more better with the dude always. Or, you know, he liked her taste. And I bring that up because I always had that feeling when it came to the whole dynamic between Tia and her husband and Tamira and her husband. Because if you watch Tia, a lot of people like Tia, and I like Tia too, but when you watch Tia, she always looks like she's trying a little bit hard, like a little bit too hard, you know, like, I don't know, you know, in that relationship, it always seems like with the TikTok videos and, you know, making her husband do those videos, it always seemed like she begged him to do it. And people usually have that where they making their husband do these videos, and then you end up finding out they divorced or the husband cheating, and you're like, oh my God, I thought they were so happy together. And it's like, you know, it was all a facade. It was all for the camera. But if you ever seen Tamira and Corey on a screen together, their dynamic is so natural. It's like they kind of tease each other. It's just very familiar. You know, it's like not just brother and sisterly. It's like kind of, you know, just like a natural thing. And I always had this feeling that you know, Tia and Tomira kind of had like a friendly competition over Corey. And Tia won and got Corey. And then, you know, she kind of held on to him because, you know, she won him for her, from her sister. And, you know, sometimes there's girl code where you're not supposed to date your friend's ex or anything like that. And I've heard a couple of times from people that the only way it's okay, and I might not never fuck with you again, but the only time it's okay is if you and this nigga are truly in love and y'all are supposed to be together. So, you know, I always got the vibe that with Tia and Tamira, that was the thing. It was like Tia ended up with Corey, even though maybe Tamira and Corey had more of the vibe. And Corey being a man probably at the time wasn't tripping and... excuse me, over time, excuse me, good grief, over time, start realizing, you know, he should have picked Tamira, which this is all my opinion, but, you know, I just think that he didn't, you know, they had a little thing, and Tia won, and it was like, Tamira, you know, if you really love him, be with him, you know, I'm you, my sister, I love you over him, so, you know, be with him. And Tia tried to make it work and was putting her relationship over her feelings and her being free. And, you know, there's a episode there, like there was a couple's interview where there were like many black couples interviewed about their love and how to stay together. And you can see Tamira and Corey. I mean, look at me, Tamira. You can see Tia and Corey. I'm just a mess of words today, guys. So just bear with me. But on that show, you can see Tia and Corey, and they're talking about how hard it is to stay together. And Corey's talking, and Tia gets excited, and she starts over trying to talk and interrupt him a little bit, and he kind of snapped to her under his breath, like, but we all heard it, and they didn't even cut that out. They let us see it. He was like, let me finish, and she was like, oh, okay. And it's like, you know, I've been in that type of relationship where not necessarily that he picked the wrong person as far as my friend, me versus my friend, because I don't have sisters, but it was more so that we were, you know, together, and I'm like forcing everything because I'm like trying to get that high off that first time we met, and it's just not coming back. And we have a couple of good laughs and everything together, and I can make him do a couple of things, but in reality, it's not that fire is gone. And so it's nothing that you can do it to get it back, not children, not getting married, any of that. It has to be there before you make any further commitments. And if it's not there, it's okay to just let it go. And I've also seen that kind of rivalry with men and twins specifically, where men kind of fuck with both twins and then they have to make a decision, because the twins are at the end of the day sisters and they love each other and they don't want to hurt each other. So, you know, they like, who are you going to choose? And it's the twins. They're called the Double Dose Twins. I've seen them on Instagram. I really love them. They got big butts. They really pretty. And, you know, I like their personality. So I follow them, the Double Dose Twin. And they used to date, or they used to hang around, because I don't know the specifics, but they used to be around Baby Blue from, what's it called? Pretty Ricky. And they both got a tattoo that said Baby Blue on their chest. And they both would take pictures with him that were provocative. And for it was like that for a minute. And then one day, you seen one of the twins have their Baby Blue tattoo covered up. And now you only see one twin with her Baby Blue and tattoo and Baby Blue together all the time. And the other one just kind of doing her own thing, you know, not in the pictures like she used to be. So it was like they had there was a slight rivalry, not saying that they was battling hardcore. But you sisters, you twins, you got the same dude that you attracted to. You got the same tattoo in the same spot for this man on your body, and you know, now you putting it up to him to choose which twin, you know, you battling your sister over who gets him, because y'all both attracted to him and you both pretty. You twins, even though twins have, there are some twins who you can't tell apart, and there are some twins that have like slighter different nose. With Tamira and Tia, Tamira has a mole on her face, so you know it's not hard to tell which person you're talking to, which one you have. But at the end of the day, they look similar, they look just alike, they're twins. So you know, for the men, you know, he ain't thinking, oh, she's the one with the better personality and she makes me feel good and she rubs my back and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they both do that kind of stuff. Who knows? There's also these twins who share everything. And I can't remember the show. I don't know. I think it was a show just about sisters and how close they are. And how scarily or dangerously or whatever, how close, ridiculously close they are. Like these two sisters, they ate the same thing, they did the same movements, one vacuumed this half of the floor, the other vacuumed the other half of the floor, they dated the same men, they were trying to get pregnant at the same time. And that man was dating both sisters. He would have sex with both of them. Now, I'm not sure if they all engaged at one time or if he had sex with one twin and while the other one waited, and then the other one would have sex while the other one waited. I'm not sure how that worked. They didn't really get into that detail. I mean, we all want to know, but you know, who knows how freaky they really got. But he's the one who men would consider lucky, because he's the one who got to date both twins. You know what I'm saying? And he wanted to. But there are little rivalries. There are times where there is a man that both twin wants. And in these two dynamics with the Double Dose Twins and with Tia and Tamira. With Tia and Tamira, I can't know for sure. It's just my idea. With the Double Dose Twins, I know, because they both... Come on now. You're not going to get your friend, your sisters, your twin sisters... boyfriend tattooed on you because y'all so close and y'all twins and y'all gotta have the same thing. No, y'all both dating him, y'all both was in love, he had to make a choice and one had to get over him. She was like, fuck this, I'm getting his tattoo taken off of me. And you know, I'm glad she did that, because you know, as my wifey would say, I love that for her, because you know, she realized her worth and she was like, fuck this, I'm not about to sit here and let some man you know, take advantage of this situation. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a human being. I'm a loving, probably, she's probably a loving person. Who knows what type of things she does for her man. And she shouldn't have to be in competition with her twin sister. Because if all those people who don't have twins, who have regular sisters who you fight with, y'all would never be trying to date the same man. Y'all would be fighting each other like, bitch, you're not about to take my man. Like, we seen in Soul Food. There was a problem when family was fucking each other's men. So with the twin thing, because they have a different dynamic because they're twins, just that whole, you know, who knows how they decided to see who gets Corey, if that's what happened. That's just, you have to just see if you can find some videos of Tamira and Corey together and just see their dynamics versus Tia's dynamic with Corey. Tamira is just like, it feels like it's more natural. It feels like they have a vibe. They tease each other. It's kind of cute if it wasn't for Tia, you know? And with Tia and Corey, it's like Tia's trying to like get that vibe. She's like, like a thirsty little dog, puppy, wanting his attention. And he just kind of being narcissistic and divvy it out when he wants to. And, you know, he don't look happy with anything. He's not even a good actor, to be honest. He's cute. And that's about it. But you know what I'm saying? He's not really a good actor. And with that being said, it just takes me into the next part of the podcast, is about how we watch these couples on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, because that's the new Hollywood, right? Like, Instagram is the new Hollywood. YouTube's the new Hollywood. Nobody has to move to LA. Like, you can move to LA to be closer, getting a house, but really, it's all about putting your stuff on YouTube and getting viewers and everything. But we watch those couples on those social media sites and streaming services, and we see them looking happy, but we don't see the cuts that happen. We don't see the arguments. There are some people that show us what really goes on behind closed doors, but we don't see that often. So you have a lot of people. It went from back in the day when people were looking at magazines and trying to obtain those bodies on that the magazine models had, and now it's going watching these things on social media and wanting what those people have, not realizing that there are cuts and take things that have been taken out and scripts that have been written and things that they are hiding from the public and everything. And so we have to learn to live our own lives. We have to learn to realize that the things that they put on the TV is, or, you know, streaming services, the internet, is for entertainment purposes only. We have access to the internet worldwide, where you can get anything in any language. You can get any information. Things that we shouldn't even have access to, we have access to. So there's no reason why you can't, do your own research. There's no reason why you can't live your own life and do things that make you happy instead of, you know, watching what somebody's doing on social media and wishing you can have that. Because we know a lot of these things are lies. It's like our brain, we know that these things are lies, but we still want that and we still wish we can have that. And so we're not happy in the relationships that we are in because we're too busy trying to be another couple. And then they end up getting a divorce, and then we're like, oh my God, I don't believe in love anymore. I knew it wasn't true. I knew it. And I think maybe we'd be a little bit excited when we be right. Because it's like, shit, I knew it. It was like all those negative thoughts for nothing. But it's like, you know, we need to learn to not think those negative thoughts, just period. We need to learn how to heal our brains. Because remember, if you heard the last few podcast, we talked about healing, and I'm gonna mention it again. We are in our healing season. So I'm happy for Tia getting divorced at the end of the day, regardless of my opinion on her relationship with her husband and what I've seen as a person on the outside looking in, being an empath, being a person that just feels vibes, knows when things are off. I'm happy that she got a divorce and she's living for her, and she was able to break that bond, and she's healing. She's healing herself and she's becoming happy, because we are in our healing season, and we can't heal anybody. We can't forgive anybody if we're not healed, because you're going to continue to forgive people and push glossing over the problem and creating a thicker and thicker layer, and you're not solving the problem at all. You're just making it worse. You're just creating this band-aid. And once it breaks for good, then it's like, fuck, I should have fixed it in the first place when it was just a little problem. So, and then we get to the point where we're there, we put ourselves in positions where we get married, we have children, and it's too late to turn back. It's too late to fix those little problems. Things are just over. You can't get those things back, and it's like, damn, this was my person, or so I thought. And it's like, maybe if I would have healed myself first, I would have realized in the beginning that this never was my person. And that I was just so excited about this bond that I kept building on it. And because of that, it was hard to break. I was scared to break it because of the pain that it was going to cause me. I forgot that I was going to be able to heal that, and that I was going to be able to be better. You know what, I don't know if it's Chinese people or if it's Japanese people or Korean people, but I know that there is this thing where they have like art jars or, you know, whatever type of ceramic materials that they have where they create something out of clay. There we go, out of clay, so maybe ceramic, I can't know, y'all. But they create something, and if it breaks, it has a crack, instead of throwing it away or fixing it with more clay, they fix it with gold and it becomes better. So, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like, I can't wait for this to break, because once this breaks, it's about to be so much fucking better, you know? So, you know, when we create relationships, sometimes it's hard to break them because we like, fuck, I'm so in love. And it used to be, I used to be like that as well. I used to be in this relationship that was not good for me. He was a very narcissistic person. And there was some, he needed to heal before he could love anybody. He was a serial relationship person. So, and he had to become a better person for himself before he can love anybody else. He has to heal before he can do anything for me. And so because of that, and because I didn't know that at that time, I began to hate him, despise him, where I don't even want to talk to him ever again. Like, we don't even speak. We're not on speaking terms. But we didn't have to get to that point. We could have seen that problem in the beginning and been like, this is not for me. I need to move on. But because I wasn't strong enough for that, I held on to it until it broke in an abruptive manner. And now it's you know, it's something, it's shattered. It's something that you can't get back. But if I knew in the beginning, who knows? Maybe we'd still be friends. Maybe we'd still even be on speaking terms. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of the times we are in relationships, and it's not just relationships with our significant others, but that's what this is. This podcast is specifically about. But a lot of times we're in relationships that we're scared to break, that need to be broken because it no longer serves us. That's just the reality of things. We are in the healing season. And we need to work on our own healing. That's why in the beginning, when we do our self-care, it's just a double check. It's a check-in with ourselves. It's a check-in with yourself. It's you looking in the mirror, checking in with yourself. Did you take care of yourself before you did anything else today? That's the question. Did you feed yourself before you did anything today? Did you get energy today for yourself? Did you clear your mind today? Did you do that podcast, do those videos, do that, create that menu, do your art, create that beat, download those apps, create that app? Did you do those things that you told yourself you were going to do? It's almost the end of the year. It's almost 2023. And even though, you know, we're going to get into, you know, year time and months and what's the real time, all that, another time, we getting ready for our annual new year for America. And for every new year, where we have goals for ourselves, and people make fun of them because they're like, don't say new year, new me, because people get frustrated with, you know, thinking that people want to change and then things are the same. So it's like, are you living your goals? Did you do the things you said you wanted to do this year? And if things change drastically, what now? And are you figuring that out? Are you trying to figure it out? I know being depressed is easier, and getting through that is easier said than done. However, you have to put in the work. I know people are like, oh, you're insensitive, blah, blah, blah. People need medication. I know that people need medication. People need to get their brain scanned. And I don't just think it's people who have depression. Everybody needs to get their brain scanned, because everybody has some sort of something going on wrong with them, and they can't quite put their finger on it. Everybody is not taking the proper vitamins that they need to take daily to help their brain get the certain things that it needs to feel, get the happy juice, and to help you to feel at peace about certain things. Sometimes our brains are overactive and underactive, so it causes us to harbor feelings, or it causes us to have none at all. We all need to go get our brain scanned. We all need to do that. And when you in a depressive state, you have to put in the work. Like, not just be like, it's nothing I can do about it. Because once you start thinking like it's nothing you can do about it, you start believing it. You get into the habit of now being depressed and being sad, and it's nothing you can do about it. But maybe there is. Maybe it's something, it's easier said than done. You can't just get up and exercise. You can't just get up and clean up. You can't just get up and do something productive to not think about what's going on. Like, that's not how it goes. But you can set a limit for yourself. You can set a day. You can set a time. You can be like, I'm going to do this for 30 minutes. I'm going to look this up. And you know what usually happens when you start doing something for 30 minutes? You start getting into a groove. You start getting interested. You start looking up more information. You start cleaning up longer. You start doing a little bit more exercise. And then when you start seeing results, then you start getting more excited about things. And if there's nothing to live for, there's nothing that you see that's worth anything, that's fine as well. Find something that keeps you interested. Find something that entertains you. It may not be something to live for. It may not be something that matters. But if you're going to be on this earth, if you're going to be sitting here living, you might as well live. Don't sit here and be laying and dying a slow death without obtaining any knowledge or learning about yourself. Don't get caught up in that. Fight through that depression. Fight that shit. And, you know, when you're able to fight your demons, when you're able to, you know, that's strength. That's helping you grow. And again, easier said than done. There are some people that just do need medication. There are some people that, like I said, need certain vitamins. And you need to take them for longer than 30 days. You can't just take them for 5 days and be like, this shit ain't working. You need to take it for longer than that. You have to change our diet, eat healthier. Again, easier said than done. Again, people are like, you can't just change a diet. Your brain gets the nutrients. Your body gets the nutrients. Your brain gets the nutrients. It adds these certain things to help release certain chemicals to help you feel happy, to help you feel at peace. So it's important, you know, instead of worrying about being in a relationship, trying to maintain relationships, trying to hold on to something so we have a partner, because we need that. Our bonds, we need to let those things break, let those things die, and let those things die and work on healing ourselves, because then you'll be happier and you will vibrate and you will attract the person, your soulmate, that you're supposed to be with, the person that's gonna care and look at you when y'all look into each other's eyes. You're looking deeply into each other's eyes, you know. It's and you able to get through any problem. You don't look unhappy. You're not just staying together because y'all not ever getting divorced. And y'all rather be unhappy together. Because like I said, I used to be in a relationship where I was like, I'd rather be unhappy and stay with him than be happy and be by myself. Well, newsflash, depression, it didn't matter if I was with him or not. It was still going to hit. I just didn't want to be by myself. It was about being lonely. But you have to learn how to be by yourself, learn to be with your thoughts, and figure out who you are. And what type of person you want to be with. So you're not just allowing any and everything. You have to stand up for yourself. I know sometimes it's easier to stand up for other people. Because if you're from the outside looking in, you don't want nobody to bully anybody you care about. Or anybody who looks like they can't defend themselves. Or anybody who needs help. When you're truly a good person, but at the end of the day, you have to defend yourself. You have to be able to stand up for yourself, because it's unhealthy when you don't. We really have to work on our mental health, because we end up being attached to people for a long period of time and creating more and more problems instead of getting the help and the healing that we need originally. So we spend 20 years with somebody that we can't stand and end up getting a divorce, and 1 year later, find the love of our life, or find yourself, or start doing the things that you want to do, or wearing the clothes that you want to wear, or, you know. And I read something interesting that said you can't make a man love you. You can't love a man into loving you. You can't be pretty enough for a man to love you, have the biggest titties, have the biggest ass. At the end of the day, a man is going to love and be with who he want to be with, and he has his reasons. And instead of women waiting around for a man to choose them, or a person waiting around to be chosen, you need to just stand up for yourself and become the person that you want to be. And the person that wants to be with you, you guys going to choose each other. It's not going to be a chase like, oh, you got to come, you got to wear me down. Because I don't even like relationships like that. Because those type of relationships where you end up with somebody who wore you down, they always end up pissing you off, because you end up with somebody that you didn't really like, wasn't attracted to in the beginning. You end up having to find something about them that you're attracted to. Then if they're a genuine person, you fall in love with their heart or whatever. But sometimes you end up liking them just because they created a bond. They keep coming over. They keep being, excuse me, good grief, burping and shit. They keep being in your face. So you finally get wore down. You're like, fuck it. Let me just see what this is about. And then that nigga end up being a dog or end up being abusive. And it's like, what the fuck? You done wore me down just to hurt me? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Now you attached to this person and it's hard to let them go. Now you feel like you in love. You done convinced yourself. You think you in love with this person. You think this person is beautiful the most. The sexiest niggas in the world you ain't even attracted to because you just want this person. It take you long time to get over this person. All because you ignored those red flags and you didn't stand up for yourself in the beginning. So we have to start healing. We have to work on healing. That's what's going to help us in the end. That's what's going to help us find the person that's supposed to be for us. We can't rush it. We can't just settle with any person because we're tired of looking. Because that's something I did with the last, and it wasn't even a real relationship, just the last situationship I was in. I allowed myself to feel like I'm so in love that I can't let it go. I can't cut it because I don't even want to start over and finding somebody else. I'm not even interested. I'm like, I'm from Oakland. The options out in this motherfucker is scarce. Okay? Real scarce. These niggas ain't shit. And it don't even mean, you know, I'm hoping that there's one that got some shit in him. He a little bit of shit, you know, because I don't want to be sitting on the toilet and can't put nothing in the pot and wasting my time. And then you nigga, that's shit, you know, something. I don't even know if that makes sense, but you get me. You feel me. But you have to love yourself. You have to find the things that make you happy. If it's ice cream, eat the ice cream. If the thought of getting a fat ass makes you happy, get a fat ass. Put yourself on a regimen. Do things for you to elevate your greatness. That's the hype that we need to be on. And that goes for men and women. It's not just about this. This was about a woman putting herself. Of course, this podcast was about a woman putting herself in the position to try to force a man, try to force a relationship, even when she know in her heart it ain't right. And also with her living her life out in the open, you want people to think that everything is good and you're happy. And so this divorce took everyone by shock. But at the end of the day, this is for both parties. Because even though Corey may not have been super loving, he does love her. They have created a bond. And he's hurting as well. They're both hurting because they're not going to be together. And they both have to heal before they can be friends, before they can move on. Because seeing each other with another person, that's going to hurt them. So, you know, we just need both parties, both men and women, regardless of who you are in a relationship with, we have to work on healing. That's really just the bottom line. This is the healing season. They say Jesus is the reason for the season. If you believe in Jesus, maybe it's because you need some healing. This is the healing season. We need to heal. We got a lot of people who are hurting. And there aren't even answers for the questions that people have. These are, like my friend likes to call them, Bible mysteries. There are some things that we just will never know. I often pray and ask God for understanding and for things to be revealed to me. So, you know, who knows what's out there and what knowledge that can be attained. But there are just some things that we only can know once we experience death. It's just people. There's just some things you can't know in life. So you have to do everything you can with the things that you do know and the things that you can learn. You need to do that and then make yourself a better person. And then find your tribe. Your tribe will come to you. You will attract them. It will just happen. But you don't want to force anything and keep feeding into lies, because you will never be happy. You will never live your purpose. If you believe in reincarnation, you believe in the matrix, you believe in the universe and there being multiverses and we have different dimensions and, you know, whatever you subscribe to, God being in another dimension, that's why we can't see him. And, you know, whatever it is that you subscribe to, you want to go to that next level in that life, whatever is next after this death. Whatever's next after death, you want to be able to elevate. So if we here now, we need to do the things that we need to do to learn those lessons. And we can't do that if we unhappy and we've too focused on people that don't make us happy. And that's a lot of times the relationships that we've grown to have with not just our significant other, but family, your friends, you know, these relationships that we be holding on to that are unhealthy for us. We be holding on to it because we're scared to break it. But because we be forgetting that we can heal, that we will heal. That's the crazy thing. We forget that we can heal. And sometimes we delay our healing because we continuously putting ourselves through this hurt. We continuously allowing this train of thought to run through our head instead of nipping it in the bud, instead of talking back to it. That's one of the things I'm learning in my book about change your brain, change your life. That if you talk back to the negative thoughts, the man, he calls them ants, automatic negative thoughts. So he said you want to try to recognize what type of negative thoughts these are and then talk back to them. That's really, really what it is. You can ask yourself. I can give y'all some things that I do. You can ask yourself, is it true? Like, is this thought that you're thinking, is it true? Can you absolutely know if it's true or not? So now you can say, so let's do an example. This old woman, she says, I'll never get a man. So the thinking is, I'll never get a man. The question is it true? Well, no, I just know that I can't get a man. Second question, can you absolutely know if it's true? Well, I can't absolutely know if it's true. Like, at the end of the day, you never know what's going to happen. How do you react when you believe that thought? And, you know, she was like, well, it makes me feel bad, makes me feel low, makes me feel like I'm unlovable. Number four, who would I be or how would I feel if I didn't have that thought? Like, I'd be a happier person. I feel like there's somebody out there and that they're gonna find me. And so after she goes through those four questions, you change that original thought, you flip it, and now you're saying, I'm gonna get a man at my beautiful age. You ask yourself, is it true? It could be. Can you absolutely know if it's true? No. How do you react? How do I react when I believe that thought? So how do you react when you believe that? I feel good about myself and I feel like somebody's going to love me and I'm a lovable person. And who would you be or how would you feel if you didn't have that thought? Well, if I didn't have the thought that I was unlovable, I would feel bad. So I'm going to hold on to the thought that I am lovable. I'm going to believe the thought that people love me and I'm going to get a man. And you're going to believe that thought. And then soon later, the woman ended up in a relationship. But that's how you want to talk to those negative thoughts. You want to ask yourself, is this shit even true? Like, can I know for sure if it's true? Do it make me feel good? Who am I with this thought? Who would I be without this thought? Okay, I want to be that person that doesn't have that negative thought. I want to think these positive things. It is power in the mind. I know it sounds cliche. I know it's easier said than done, as most things. But you just have to start thinking. You have to start realizing, do you think negative things and nothing but negative things happen to you? Do you think positive things and nothing but negative things happen to you? Or are you like the person who's doing positive things but you have negative thoughts? whatever it is, you have to push past those negative thoughts. Talk to them. Talk shit to them. Bitch, get the fuck out my head. That shit ain't true. You wildin' right now. And I ain't fucking with it. Get the fuck out my head. You gotta recognize what kind of thoughts you're having. The book that I was reading has some interesting things to say about the type of thoughts that they were having. Some of them, they were called like predictive thoughts. I'm gonna see if I can find that information for you. But it was just really interesting because these are things that at first you don't realize that you do. And then you're like, oh, wow, these are things that I definitely do. So I'm going to get into that before the show is over. Welcome back, beautiful people. I just found the 9 most common ants, automatic negative thoughts that we have. And this is something that kind of was like an eye-opener for me when I was reading these things. Because, you know, it was like, these are things that I say to myself. And some things I don't, you know, so, you know, take what resonates with you. But when I say that you need to talk back to those thoughts, these are the thoughts that we need to talk back to. So the first one we have is always and never thinking. So that happens when, I guess, you're all, when you're saying things like that always happens, or I never win, or, you know, no one fucks with me, or everyone's lying to me, or every time I come here, people always stealing something, or everything's gonna go wrong. These are the thoughts that you need to talk back to. So always, never thinking, that is an ant that you need to talk back to and kill. Also focusing on the negative. So, you know, if you get like 150 likes or 150 comments that are good on your page, on your Instagram page, Facebook page, and 40 of those are negative, you're focusing, or not even 40, 2 of those are negative, then you focus in on the 2 instead of the 150. So you don't want to focus on the negative. You want to talk to yourself. We want to talk to those thoughts. Like, why am I thinking 150 is a lot? You're like, you don't even have 150 people tell you in real life that, you know, they like your hair or whatever. So 150 is a lot of people, and you should be proud of that and not focus on the 2 negative comments. So, you know, focusing on the negative, that's the second thing. Number 3, this is one that I do, fortune telling. So that's when you start predicting the worst and then things happen, predicting the worst out of a possible situation, and, you know, feeling like you always know something's gonna go wrong. And it goes back to going back to that always thinking. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. So fortune telling, that's number 3. That's an ant thought that you want to nip in the bud. Like, they're gonna tease me when I get there, or they're gonna laugh at me. And, you know, but like, they're not gonna tease me, they're not gonna laugh at me. And if they do, I'm gonna stand up for myself, because laugh at me for what? You know, you gotta stand up for yourself. Talk back to these thoughts. These thoughts are bullies in your head. You wanna talk back to them. They ain't bullies. You know what I'm saying? So, mind reading. This is also something that I do. Mind read when I predict what somebody else is gonna say. I know that they mad. I know that this is what they doing. I know they not here because he cheating. I know he with a bitch. I know she with a nigga. I know she slept with my man. I know this person was wishing evil on me. Like, mind reading. You don't know what anybody else is thinking, regardless if you have women intuition, whatever you want to call it. You don't know when someone else is thinking. So with that being said, we want to not be so much of a mind reader and actually do not ignore red signs, but let people, when they tell us who they are, believe them and move forward. Because the mind read comes into play when you know how people are, and then you start predicting what they're doing, what they're going to say based off your past experiences. And it's like, well, it has happened in the past, it's happening now. And in reality, you should have nipped that shit in the bud and got out of there. You don't want to be with anybody that makes you be a mind reader, but you also just want to not have that habit, not be in a habit of being a mind reader. That was number four, being a mind reader. Number five is thinking with your feelings. This occurs when you believe your negative feelings without ever questioning them. So just having a negative thought pop into your head and, you know, it's just a random negative thought, and then believing that instead of questioning it, fighting it back, killing those ants again. So just thinking with your feelings, allowing yourself to feel this is, I feel like this might happen. Like, no, you can't feel like something might happen. You can't know for sure. You may think something might happen. You can prepare yourself, but you don't want to allow that feeling to live rent free in your head, because it's just taking up space and you got other things that could be beneficial to you. Guilt beating. That's number six. Moving on to number six, guilt beating. You have to, you ought to, I should have did this. I have a habit of that with my recent situation. I'm often in my head talking about what I should have did and what I wish I could have done. And it's really nothing I can do about it. I can wish and hope and, you know, beat myself up. And, you know, it happens. And sometimes I just have to do something that relaxes me. Or sometimes I just have to check out and watch some TV just to, you know, something funny to get my mind back on track, or start praying, or, you know, writing something or doing a podcast. I get in the habit a lot and of saying I should have, woulda, I must do this, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you can't live like that. So you have to find peace, you have to heal, and you have to forgive yourself in order for that guilt beating to stop. And you also just want to make sure that you're fighting back. If you're feeling guilty, you want to question why you're feeling guilty and what if there's something you can do, and if there isn't something you can do, what's the next step? Because you can't allow those thoughts to live in your head, because then you're not going to ever be happy. Next, guilt beating was number six. Next is number seven, labeling. So labeling is like, I guess, calling people a jerk, irresponsible, that stupid bitch. Like, I hate dealing with stupid people and she's stupid. And when you do that kind of stuff with dealing with people, it makes you not want to fuck with them. And then you find yourself talking to other people about them and only talking about these negative things. So when that person thinks of them, now all they think is negative. And sometimes you have great experiences with this person, but you only talk about the negative. You only talk about how stupid this bitch is, or how slutty this bitch is, or how dumb this nigga is, or how much of a hoe this nigga is. The hoe ass nigga, all this kind of stuff. You attach these negative labels to them. It sticks with us. It sticks with other people. And every time you come into contact with this person, that's what you're going to think. So it's always going to be a negative thought with this person. And if you have anybody like that in your life, remember in the last podcast, if you didn't go listen, we talked about cutting people off if they're not beneficial to you. Anybody that makes you feel any type of way that's not positive, you need to cut those people off. You don't need to hold on to any relationship because you feel guilty. Again, here goes the guilt beating. You don't want to feel guilty because you've been with this person for so long, or you attached to this person because you've known this person forever, or y'all had like a crazy ass experience and y'all are healing together, leaning on each other. Like, you don't want to allow those type of relationships guilt you into staying anywhere that's hurting you. You want to move forward. So if you are with anybody that's, you like, this nigga is a narcissist, this nigga is a jerk, like this jerk ass nigga, here he go again. Like, you find yourself labeling people and finding yourself irritated, frustrated, or feeling any type of way that's not positive. And it's not just because maybe today you're feeling bad, but it's like every time you come into contact with this person, this is what you feel. You need to remove yourself. But you also don't want to do that to your friends and the people that you love and care about. Put labels on anything, or the people that you work with, because you're going to get upset and frustrated. You're always going to be like this stupid bitch when you see her. And every time you talk about a stupid bitch, that motherfucker is going to pop into your head. So that was number 7, labeling. Number 8, we want to move on to personalizing. And that's when something happens with somebody else. We don't know what's going on. And they come into work that morning and they don't speak to nobody. But they always speak. And instead of you being like, something's wrong with them, I hope they are okay, we make it about us. Oh my God, why she didn't talk to me? She mad at me. She must got me fucked up. I noticed that happened a lot in the recent things that's going on in my life. I stopped talking to a lot of people, and it really ain't had nothing to do with them and everything to do with me, because it's like, at the end of the day, I'm not feeling like people are showing up. And I feel like the people that I stopped talking to, they weren't, you know, showing up how I needed them to. And it was like, I'm taking access away from me. Like, there's no longer access to me. You can't tap in whenever you feel like it, because when I need you, you're not there. And I feel like people personalized that and was like, well, fuck you, she's not talking to me because I did something wrong. And it's not necessarily that you did something wrong, it's that you just can't get right. And so instead of you trying to fix it and standing up and, you know, questioning those thoughts in your head and standing up to them and whatever, you take it a step forward or take it a step further, and you make it about yourself. And it don't even, that situation might not even be necessarily the same as how people personalize it themselves. Or, you know, you invest yourself into other people's situations when you don't really know what's going on. You don't really know how they're feeling. And so you find yourself upset or frustrated because they're acting a certain way, but you haven't tried to figure out, like, what's going on with them. So instead of personalizing things, you want to take the initiative to just really show people that you love and care about them. The people that you say you love and care about, you want to take the initiative into just really showing them that. Actions speak louder than words. So show them you love and care about them. Show them that you're interested in their life, not just you're interested in their life, not just whenever you feel like it, but hey, what's going on? You okay today? Even if it's just once a week that you're checking in, you know, make time for the people that you care about. That's really what it is. So that way, you, when things happen, because you're not feeling guilty and you're not personalizing what they're doing because you did something. Instead of you asking yourself, why the fuck she mad at me? You're like, hey, what's going on? And if you know, that's just me. And number 9 is blaming, when you become a passive victim of circumstances. And that's also something I do. And it goes back to, people are always doing this to me. People, I'm there for people and people don't be there for me. And so that's why I'm hurting by myself. Well, you know, you have to come to terms with those things. You have to have conversations. You have to fight back. You, with me, with the blame game, with me feeling like people aren't always there, my fight back was, I know people aren't always there. It makes me feel bad. I wish people could be there. I have to forgive them. But also, I don't have to move how I thought I had to move anymore. So that's just really what the realization is. I'm not mad at anybody. It just gave me back. It gave me some freedom and some relief. It was like, I'm so mad that other people aren't moving how I move or doing what I think they should be doing, that I have negative thoughts in my head and I'm angry because I'm like, these people always doing this and they don't never stand up for me or have my back or blah, 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 whoop-de-whoop. And it's like, I'm going to be a lot happier if I don't even have to think those thoughts. Forgive those people and move on with my life. So, you know, those are the nine common automatic negative thoughts that we have in our head. Again, we go through them again, not like explaining them. But the first one is always never thinking. Number 2, focusing on the negative. Number 3, fortune telling. Number 4, mind reading. Number 5, thinking with your feelings. Number 6, guilt beating. Number 7, labeling. Number 8, personalizing. And number 9, blaming. These are the 9 ants that we have and that we need to fight. These are intrusive thoughts. These are thoughts that come in our head and those forms, and we have to figure out a way how to identify what's happening to us at that time, the thoughts that we're having, and how we can fight through that. And that is the beginning of your healing, by noticing, by figuring out what's going on, by recognizing those things. You recognize the negative thoughts in your head already, boom, you on step one. I already know the negative thoughts are coming. They're not just coming and I don't realize them. Now I'm realizing them, right? I realize these are negative thoughts. Now I'm talking back. Bitch, what the fuck? Why you think like that? You are beautiful. You this, you know, you as the affirmations that we telling ourselves. That's when the affirmations come into play. And then after you talk these good thoughts to yourself, you kick these intrusive thoughts out your head. Then you figure out the thoughts that you want to have. I'm going to be a millionaire. What I got to do to be a millionaire? I got to get on my ass and start doing the shit I want to do. I have to give myself a time frame, a time limit. I have to show up for myself. I have to get myself out of relationships and things that are holding me back because I'm paying too much attention to that and not paying too much attention to myself. It's not affecting me emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally in a good way. It's affecting me negatively. And so because it's affecting me negatively, I gotta cut that shit off. I gotta cut that bitch off. How that song go? I forget. But you gotta start standing up for yourself. You can't allow yourself to be in relationships for too long with anybody. You cannot allow yourself to be a part of anything that doesn't serve you, because it's going to harm you and hinder you. It's gonna hold you back. Anything not good for you is gonna fuck you up. And it may not fuck you up in the beginning, but in the long run, it's gonna hurt you. You're gonna notice it, and you're gonna harbor a resentment towards whatever or whoever. Because you mad that you allowed yourself to get so deep into that situation that you lost who you were. You have to find that girl again, that person again. And you have to elevate her. So now you have to get out of the trenches of where you was with this person. You have to find who you were again. And then you have to make that bitch the best bitch that she can be. You got a lot of work. We got a lot of work. I got a lot of work. Look in the mirror and say, I got a lot of work to do. But it's doable and I'm going to get it done. Because per. But at the end of the day, we got work to do. And we can't be worried about other people and forgiving other people and other people's happiness because we not happy. We have to work on our own mental health. We have to work on our own heart. We have to work on our own soul. We have to work on our own bodies. We have to make sure we're strong and living for a long time. We have to realize and notice the things we put into our body. We have to take things, remove things from our diet. We have to remove things from our life that no longer serves us. As we grow, as we get older, we notice more and more the things that don't serve us. And some things are just abruptly taken from us. And we have to learn lessons from things that we feel that we shouldn't even have to learn a lesson from. But as you grow, continue to learn and to love that. And I hope that the people who are coming up, this new generation, is loving to learn. Information is so easy to obtain. So get in on it before you can't get it anymore. Write things down. Read books. Not just what you see on the internet. Get books. Paperback. Hardcovers. Get those things. Put it in your hand. Fill the pages. Obtain that knowledge. Meditate. Give yourself time to think those thoughts and push them out of your head. But do everything that's going to benefit you. Don't find yourself caught up in a relationship and wanting a relationship with somebody you don't even like. That be the crazy part. We be in whole relationships with people we don't even like. They not even a person that we would fuck with. But we, because of these bonds we created, and we, you know, instead of us cutting ties when we should have, we allowed it to get stronger and stronger and stronger, where to the point if we break it, it's going to hurt us so deeply. And it's like, now we have to just remember that healing is possible. You know, we needed to cut those things in the beginning. And because we didn't, we allowed these things to grow. And now, you know, it's bringing us down. We don't want that for us anymore. We don't need that. You don't need to stay together for the kids. You stand together. You saying you stand together for the kids, but you stand together because truly in your heart, you want a family. That's okay. Admit that to yourself. You don't have to be angry. Admit that to yourself. I do want a family. This is just this person and my this person's life and my life just don't align. It aligned for the time being, and then we no longer can be together because it no longer serves us. I'm growing in this direction and this person is growing in that direction. A lot of the times things end in anger, not because people hate each other, but because that love, you have to hate each other. You want to hate each other so that you're not feeling love and feeling sympathy, so that you can get the thing, so you can make the other person feel what you're feeling, because you have to break this bond. So a lot of relationships end in anger, end badly, without discussions, without any understanding. And sometimes you need that for you to learn something. But, you know, when you heal and things aren't working out, you're able to end things and go your separate ways with no problem, without hating this person, without losing who you were, realizing this person's not for you. So just keep fighting for yourself. Keep fighting for your mental health, okay? It's what's important. It's truly important. And, you know, I just want to say shout out to Tia Mori, because at the end of the day, we may speculate on what we think is going on. We do not know. Everything is, like I said, these are my opinions. These are things I just seen over the years. These are things that I always thought myself. And, you know, I don't like to speak negative, so I didn't want to put that out there. I didn't want to be attacked for, you know, thinking that this relationship wasn't real. But shout out to Tia for finding who she was, who she is. Finding that she no longer needs to hold on to this relationship to keep up any type of, you know, type of sense of happiness for anybody else. She can truly be herself now. Love on her kids. She got two beautiful kids from this man. That's what they created together. They were able to take care of them and help them grow. They still have two beautiful children alive and well. So they can be thankful for that and love each other for the lessons that they learn and move forward with their happiness. But a lot of people need to heal before they can even get to that level of forgiveness. And remember, we are in the healing season, people, not the season of forgiveness. So let's keep that in mind. As always, you want to look in that mirror as we get out of here today and say these affirmations. Say affirmations to yourself. I am beautiful. I am smart. I am sexy. Who's sexy? I'm sexy. Who's sexy? You sexy. I'm sexy. You sexy. Who's sexy? I'm sexy. Fuck it up. Yes, you look good with that wig. You don't got a coochie slay, as wifey would say. You picked it out. It's cute. That's a beautiful color on you. Ooh, I like them shoes. Them is nice. I like your style. I like your energy. You got good vibes. That's what you're saying to yourself in the mirror. You looking at yourself in the mirror and you saying that to yourself. Here's a tip. I read this on somewhere. Name your plants after yourself. Name your plants after your loved ones. Make sure you got one named after yourself so that you can speak life into you. So when you talking to your plant, you can be like, Mary, you are so beautiful. I love you. I hope you have a beautiful day. I hope you're getting enough water, vitamins, energy, and enough sun. I hope you grow beautiful. You're going to grow. You're going to be talking to your plant named Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins, you are so gorgeous. I love you. I just love how the sun looks on you. Your leaves are so beautiful. Because you're going to be speaking life into yourself. So make sure you do that. Okay? I can't do that. So I'd be like, okay. So it got to be long. Okay. Anyway, people, thank you for tuning in to ESPM, where if it doesn't affect you emotionally, spiritually, physically, or mentally, you don't want to give it no life or pay it no attention. Okay, make sure you tap in and follow me on Instagram at Mary Poppins Music, MaryPoppinsMuzik. I have my TikTok information up here soon in a couple of episodes, so you can find that soon. And yes, also check out Moody Treats and Moody Beauty. Moody Treats has edibles for you, lots of good, delicious juices, and some sweets. She has peach cobbler, cinnamon rolls, just for an example. Those are delicious. She makes cheesecakes. She has Rice Krispie treats, of course. And also, you have good lipsticks and eyelashes. She just has a variety of things. So, you want to check out Moody Beauty and Moody Treats on Instagram. Okay. Thank you for tuning in, beautiful people. It's always a blessing. Always remember to love yourself. Show yourself love first, because you cannot give anything to anybody if your well is dry. I'll see y'all next time.